You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So this week, I found myself in a bit of a debate around condom use and porn. It's fairly rare that you see condoms being used in heterosexual porn, and producer Jen pointed out to me that it is often used as a barrier for a plot device. It prompted me thinking about how that and other aspects of porn affect our personal lives. A new charitable trust in New Zealand, the Light Project, was set up in order to help educate youth in navigating the unrealistic world of porn. I reached out to the project director for the organization, Nikki Denholm, and I started by asking her how prevalent porn use is amongst youth in New Zealand.
Well, we have no New Zealand data at this point, though. In a couple of weeks' time, the Chief Senses research, which was done with about 2,000 young people in New Zealand, is about to be released, which will be fantastic. But international data suggests around 85% of young people will have engaged with or been exposed to porn. Studies sort of say between 70 and 100%, but yeah, around mid-80s.
And so what are the differences between porn and sex that are most prevalent to you?
Well, there's porn sex. So porn sex and good sex, we talk with young people about there sort of being three or four key differences. Porn sex is often not emotionally or physically safe, so there's huge safety issues there. Porn sex is often really violent, quite aggressive. A lot of the analysis of porn suggests around between 40 and 80% of it is sexually aggressive. It often involves one person, usually men, dominating another. There's often not mutual pleasure, so I think in most of the studies they say the pleasure is usually for the man, and you know, around 13% of the time you see women receiving pleasure. Often not a connection. Sex is something that's done to girls. There's no relationship, no emotional connection. And clearly it's not real sex, so it's often performed by, you know, porn stars that have performance-enhancing drugs. They've had surgery to make their body look good, and it's just kind of not real sex. It's not the type of sex that girls or even guys necessarily enjoy. And then there's big issues like there's often no consent. Things like coercion are made to look really sexy when, in fact, all these things are actually not okay and not what makes for great ongoing sex lives.
Consent is something that's a hugely important part of a healthy sex life. What do the studies show about the relationship between porn and consent in our personal lives?
Well, what the studies are showing is that firstly, a lot of porn consent isn't shown. So, as I said, things like coercion are made to look really sexy, like it's actually okay not to ask consent. When a girl says no, she actually means yes, and it's okay to sort of keep pushing her. So how that sort of translates into real life is that despite what you know, young guys and girls might think about consent, what's happening is they're watching porn, they're being aroused by porn, where the messaging is actually saying, this is okay. It's okay not to ask consent. It's okay to be coercive. And so this is potentially translating into how they engage with each other. And so studies are showing that they're seeing a lot more coercion within sexual relationships, a lot more lack of consent. You know, young boys thinking it's okay to keep pushing girls, to not ask for consent, to be sexually aggressive, that sex is a sort of a transactional thing that you do to a girl regardless of what she feels or what she wants. So it's really counterproductive to healthy sex lives.
So this interview kind of stemmed off of a conversation I was having about condom use in porn and how you see a lack of that. And the conversation around condom use is often with a negative lens. How do you think that has the potential to affect people in their personal lives?
Well, again, most of the studies, particularly internationally, suggest that young people that watch a lot of porn are more likely to mimic the behaviours they see in porn. So, for example, they're more likely to have sex earlier, to have riskier sex. Condoms, for example, is a huge one. So most of the analysis that look at porn content suggests that in heterosexual porn, you actually only see condom use between 3 and 10% of the time. It's higher with homosexual porn. It's around 67%. But basically, we know that kids are watching porn. It's become a primary form of sex education, and what they're seeing is it's okay not to use condoms. In fact, it's normal not to use condoms. So the flow down effect of that with increased STIs, unwanted pregnancies and whatnot, it's kind of not rocket science that we're going to start seeing a lot more of those sorts of impacts if young people are using porn as an educator and condoms just aren't used in a lot of porn.
In looking into the subject myself, I found that there wasn't a lot of New Zealand data. Why do you think that is?
I think it's because it's quite new. Really, things have dramatically changed in the last 5 to 7 years with the explosion of technology. So before, we had all these kind of natural barriers to kids accessing porn, whereas now it's entirely accessible, it's free, it's anonymous, kids watch it on their phone. And so suddenly we've got this new almost epidemic of just young people getting free 24/7 porn, and adults just haven't caught up. Adults, porn is awkward, it's an embarrassing thing to talk about, everyone comes with their own agenda, it's often been viewed as a moral kind of issue, and so adults are all largely sitting around silently and very awkwardly, and we just haven't played catch up yet on actually needing to do some research, see what kids are engaging with and how porn is really shaping their sexuality. So good news is that we've got some great research underway. So the Chief Sense has done a fantastic piece of research with 2,000 14 to 17-year-olds in New Zealand, which works out about 1% of the population within that age group. And that's looking at kids' behaviours around porn, why they watch porn, what they watch, how they feel about it. And that will be a fantastic body of research in New Zealand to really inform how we move ahead. There has been excellent studies overseas, but just because it's so new, we're just a little bit slower in New Zealand.
Mm. And globalization around porn, I think, is an interesting thing, because we don't really have heaps of porn being produced in New Zealand. Does that have a potential to kind of make this homogenized ideas around sex?
Yeah, I think it's a tricky one. New Zealand is a big porn user. In 2016, we were the fifth biggest user per capita of Pornhub. But on saying that, there's a huge amount of New Zealand-based, obviously, amateur porn that's been loaded up to that. But yes, you're right. There is a, with the globalisation of porn, there is a huge amount of homogenous type of material that is, you know, now being shown, and people are all thinking this is normal and this is okay.
Something I last wanted to ask. So your organization promotes education around porn, but do you think that there is a way to healthily view porn?
Well, our organization just works with youth. I think the jury's in regard to young people engaging with porn, and because online porn now is largely sexually violent and involves a lot of domination from men to women, it's often racist and sexist. We know that children, you know, that young people just don't have the skills to critically analyse that and unpack the messaging in porn. So I think for young people, there's certainly no evidence indicating that it's a really a good and healthy educator of sex. The adult debate is another one, and one that we haven't been engaged with. But I think for young people, certainly there's really a huge amount of harm. And despite what we might think, as I said earlier, if kids are getting aroused to the material that's currently on porn sites, it is problematic for their sex life.
That was Nikki Denholm with the Like Project. You should check out their website if you're curious to know more. And now,
Freedom of speech, it means you have to listen to me.
It's time to have your say. Pole position on The Wire.
All right. What do we got? So, pole position, the question being, is porn a healthy form? Got to pull down that dive music. Wrong one. Sorry. All right. So the question this week is porn a healthy form of sex education? And now, our very intense, exclusive poll. 12 votes.
Good. Better than none. We love to hear everyone's opinions.
So. Absolutely. If you have an opinion, please text in because we do like to talk about it. But 17% of people said porn was a healthy form of sex education, while 83% said no. What do you think, Jen?
Well, I can only speak from my own experience. I think it's particularly harmful for young men, and I don't think pornography as a whole is a negative thing. I think it really depends on where you are in your life, how old you are, what porn you're consuming, who's making it, what it's trying to represent. I can tell when someone has been when sexual partners have been influenced by porn or not, and that's not always like, sometimes it seems much more disingenuous than anything else. I don't know. What do you think?
I just actually got a text in saying, how is porn usually sexist? Interracial porn is usually black males with white females. Kind of two different sections of the question. Do you think porn is sexist?
Stereotypically, yeah. And I do think there are some production companies who are entering, who are entering the, what would you call it, the business, to try and target that and tackle that and create things that are less sexist and are more inclusive and that are, what I believe genuinely, like way more enjoyable for most people, or what I assume.
I think in terms of it being sexist, she kind of touched on it briefly, where sex is kind of this thing that happens to women in porn, and I think that's potentially a problematic thing. It's people trying to convince men to have sex with them, those kinds of conversations coming up. I think porn can absolutely be healthy and potentially has the chance to spark conversations, but if you have a if you're viewing porn passively without that lens of, hey, this could not be right or this could be problematic, it has the potential to really damage you.
I think there's a question as well. I remember an ex recalling an experience when he was quite young, and I think there's a question around seeing porn before you have had intimate relationships with people. And he recalled this experience where he was at a friend's house, there were two friends there, and they like turn on this porn film, and he was like, it was terrifying, and it may not have even been a particularly violent or anything film, but you know, it is quite explicit, it is quite confronting, and I don't know, that there's something
absolutely.
About young people. I think young people.
Oh, he meant to say racist about that text from before, not sexist, but racist.
So he's questioning that whether it's racist or not.
Yeah, because she did bring it up during the interview.
I think we need to touch on the fact that black men are often fetishized.
Absolutely.
About being hung like horses, and that's something, or being like quite primitive and things like that. So I think definitely pornography adds negatively to that stereotype.
I mean, I do see some of the plot lines of like black men attacking white women, and it's like, it's uncomfortable, and that isn't creating a good conversation around people of those demographics.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.